There's an ominous footnote to a Massachusetts report on opioid overdose deaths. It says the state can no longer refer to all such deaths as accidents. That's because some are suicides. WBUR's Martha Biebinger reports on how that could change the face of the opioid epidemic, beginning with one woman's experience.
Maddie Ullman is 22 on the evening when she stands in a friend's bathroom looking down at the sink.
I had set up a bunch of different needles filled with heroin because I wanted to just do them back to back to back.
Ullman doesn't remember how many she injects before collapsing or how long she lays drugged out on the floor.
But I remember being pissed because I could still get up. You know, I wanted to be out.
Out as in dead?
Yeah, like out.
At this point, Ullman has been addicted to opioids, controlled by the drug, she says, for more than 3 years.
And doing all these things you don't want to do that are horrible. You know, selling my body, stealing from my mom, sleeping in my car. How could I not be suicidal?
For Ullman, whose weight has dropped to about 90 pounds, who is shooting heroin just to avoid feeling violently ill, suicide feels, she says, like a painless way out.
You realize getting clean would mean a lot of work, and you realize dying would be a lot less painful. You also feel like you'll be doing everyone else a favor if you die.
Ullman, who has been sober for more than 4 years now, says many drug users hit this point, when the disease and the pursuit of illegal drugs crushes their will to live. Ullman, like about 40% of active drug users, wrestles with depression, anxiety, or another mental health issue that increases the risk of suicide. Studies connecting drug addiction and suicide are sparse, in the words of Dr. Maria Oquendo, but significant.
Based on the literature that's available, it looks like it's anywhere between 25 and 45% of deaths by overdose that may be actual suicides.
Oquendo, the immediate past president of the American Psychiatric Association, says the opioid epidemic is occurring at the same time suicides have hit a 30-year high. But few doctors look for a connection.
They're not monitoring it. They're probably not assessing it in the kind of depth that they would need to and prevent some of the deaths.
If doctors do look deeper into the reasons patients addicted to opioids become suicidal, some economists say they'll find fewer marriages, the loss of stable, middle-class jobs, and rising rates of self-reported pain. Princeton economics professor Angus Deaton co-authored a seminal paper last year on deaths of despair.
We think of opioids as something that's thrown petrol on the flames and made things infinitely worse, but the underlying deep malaise would be there even without the opioid.
Many economists agree on remedies for that deep malaise. Harvard economics professor David Cutler says they include a good education, a steady job that pays a decent wage, secure housing, food, and health care.
And also thinking about the sense of purpose in life, that is, even if one is doing well financially, is there a sense that one is contributing in a meaningful way?
And contributing within a community, says Michael Botticelli, director of the Graykin Center for Addiction at Boston Medical Center.
The vast majority of people that I know who are in recovery often talk about this profound sense of reestablishing and sometimes establishing for the first time a connection to a much larger community.
Maddie Ullman isn't sure why her attempt at suicide with multiple injections of heroin didn't work.
I just got really lucky. I don't know how.
Building a supportive community is a big part of her recovery strategy.
Meetings, 12 steps, sponsorship, and networking, being involved with people doing what I'm doing.
Among Ullman's community on Cape Cod, she says there's a fatal overdose at least once a week. Some are accidental, others not. She's convinced that telling her story of losing and then finding hope will help. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.